So welcome back to our two or sessions, the second part of Tuesday Live with Linda and Friends, August 31st. So our plan is to actually, Becky, do you have is today a good day to share the five Tibetans, or sure. Would it be better if we wait till next week?
No, this is fine. How much time do you want me to fill?
Well, what you need.
I don't know. You know me. I can go anywhere from 10 minutes to 2 hours.
Introduce us to the idea.
That would be okay. Good. I can do that. I guess the first thing that I want to say, just because from the psychotherapy place, this is worth everybody exploring, but it's also what Linda's doing with us. The psych world has gotten really interested now in the idea of resiliency. And one of the things that it talks about is that you have to train your brain. So I'm just going to give you some super simple concepts. Feel free to write them down, but I especially want you to plug into how is that what Linda's teaching us? So within resiliency, the way you train your brain, there are some sort of simple universal concepts. First one is to live in the moment. The next one is to look at the good in any situation. Find some piece of it that you can feel thankful or blessing, or remembering that your brain is very plastic. It attaches to, it thinks in the patterns that we set for it. So one of the ideas in resiliency is that with stress, the idea is that your brain and your emotions work better if they are together. And Linda does a version of this all the time. So for example, if you're afraid, rather than standing in that picture of the fear to think about what would the strength look like, what would the healing look like, and to harness that feeling to move your brain, because in fact, the brain works better when those two things are lined up, the logical piece and the emotional piece. And that it is literally a form of training your brain to get those two pieces to work together rather than at odds. The key that they talk about so much is building strong connections, which we spent half the day talking about today, didn't we? A sense of purpose and an optimistic outlook. And I just wanted to throw those ideas at you, because what I'm about to tell you, that's a yoga piece, is sort of a way of making your body do that. So the five Tibetan rites, and I'd be interested to hear what Linda's version of how she heard about them and how they came into being. But I think the most important piece for you to get in this moment is the idea that everywhere that you see it, it talks about the five Tibetan rites as being a vagal toning exercise. So, gee, doesn't that fit with what everything we've been looking at? The idea that you want to tone that vagus nerve and all of its corresponding connections is that it moves you into your parasympathetic system, which is that nurture, relax, comfort, all of that. So that's why these exercises or rituals, if you will, are important, is that it's a vagal toning experience. So here's what all it purports in just one little thing to say. Marnie, thank you so much, is going to put a couple of other links in for you guys to look at what else or another source says that it'll do for you. But here are the things that this particular one little article talks about. It says that if you do the five Tibetan rites, you can have all these things, looking much younger, sleeping soundly, waking up feeling refreshed and energetic, release from serious medical problems, including difficulties with spines, relief from problems with joints, release from pain, better memory, arthritis relief, weight loss, improved vision, youthing instead of aging, greatly improved physical strength, endurance and vigor, improved emotional and mental health, enhanced sense of well-being and harmony, and very high overall energy. Now, if you think about that, that sounds like snake oil, doesn't it? Unless you think about the fact that it's toning that vagal system. And then it all makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So that's why the five Tibetan rites have, I think, continued to be in the world over time. Linda, what's the story that you got on the five Tibetan rites? I'm curious.
Becky, this is amazing. I'm just thrilled to hear all of this and hear your introduction, because I read it somewhere, I don't know, over 30 years ago. I read just a simple story about this old guy that, you know, could hardly move and looked really old, and he went off somewhere and came back and looked really young, and his friend said, what did he do? And he did these five Tibetan rites. That's all I know. And I,
that's great.
I mean, this is beautiful. I mean,
yeah. So, well, and the reason I was curious about the story was that the Tibetans don't really claim this practice. The yogis attribute this practice to the Tibetans. The Tibetans say, no, it's not ours. So who knows for sure what the origin is? We only know it's very, very old. Back when I first learned to do it, I thought that it was the Tibetan monks got up really early and it was really, really cold. So they did it to warm themselves up to start their day. That was what I decided, because it is a heating practice the way I learned it, which was from an Ashtanga instructor. And, you know, Ashtanga is a very physical, you know, form. Well, when I started looking for modifications, because Linda said I can't practice them anymore, I quickly realized that the very way that I learned the five Tibetan rites has to do with the kind of teacher I had teaching me. So I want to give you guys some freedom here. One of the things that's true about yoga is the reason you see so many different classes and types and kinds is because from the very beginning, they believed that some of those poses were divinely inspired. So it was not a static practice. It continue to evolve and grow and change. And that's what's given us this wonderful diversity in all these different schools of yoga. I want you to think about the five Tibetan rites the same way. When you go online, and Marnie's so graciously agreed to put on some sites for you that will give you the basics of what they are in their full expression, but then also a couple of people who do modifications, but you'll find tons. You'll find even the correct and proper way to do the five Tibetan rites. So what I'm freeing you to do is the correct and proper way to do the rites is what works for you, that you think of yourself as being divinely inspired to find what is both comfortable and gives you the feeling that you want it to give you. And so I'm going to free you that way. Go hunt on the internet, go play, remembering that not everything you see on the internet is the right plan, but that you free yourself to find one that fits you, that works for you.
Beautiful. And mine were so simple. And the reason I had to quit, because I broke my wrist. And so I couldn't figure a way to do, I forget the last one, that was it down dog, I forget what it is, but I couldn't. Yep.
So I thought we'd do today that very thing. I'm not going to show you the full expression of this pose. You can find them all over the internet. What I'm going to do is give you just a few little possible modifications so that as you're watching me, you might go, ooh, I could do that one, so that you have the opportunity. And I'm going to assume problems with shoulders, problems with knees, problems with feet, okay? So that we kind of hit all of it. But if you were totally bedfast, you could still do the five Tibetans. And here's how. You could watch any of those ones that you want to, because when you watch something, your mirror neurons are firing, and they're firing as if you were doing that perfectly. Back in the day in the Ashtanga world, you didn't come out onto the floor until maybe you'd been sitting there watching 2 years. And when the instructor thought you were ready, they would come to the wall and say, now you may practice. But what's nice is, having watched that pose perfectly for a long time, those mirror neurons know exactly what they're hunting for, because they know what that perfect expression of that pose is, even if they can't do it. So even if you were bedfast, to simply watch these and imagine your own body doing them would have a profound effect. I just want to play with this at the simplest level for a second. Why this works as a vagal toning thing is that you are tightening muscles in the front and the back of your neck. So everybody put your hands on your neck. And if you're seated, just barely lean back, and not out here on the sides, kind of right here towards your windpipe. And just barely lean back. Feel how you have a set of muscles there that comes online to hold your head. As you lean back, there's a deep, deep set of muscles that goes, whoop, I need to get busy, and holds your head upright. Same thing, lean back, feel how you have something engaged. You can get that one easier if you lean forward. Feel how you have those same muscles that get going. In each of these Tibetan rites, we are moving that head forward and back, and taking turns with those muscles engaging, and they put pressure on that vagus nerve. And that's what encourages that thing to wake up and get going and do what we need it to do, which is calm us down, make us smoother, wake up all our systems to function perfectly, right? So let's just look at some really simple modifications you can do. And I'm going to use a chair. Hopefully you can all hear me just fine. But I'll also show some things you can do with the wall. So the first Tibetan rite, they show it a lot of times spinning. I learned initially from an instructor who was Ashtanga. And because in the Ashtanga world, they're really all about the core and getting strong, he didn't like that whirling dervish. He said that, in fact, you get a better bang for your buck to go all the way over slowly, although he was doing them fast. I'm going to tell you, go slower, to go over and then back. And if you put your hands on your obliques, you can feel you're using both sets to go each direction. Now I'm going to give you a correction and a safety measure here. Don't go all the way. If you go all the way, now you're letting momentum and resistance do the move. So that takes your belly out of it. Instead, go about two-thirds of the way that you can go. Make yourself stop and go back. And the reason you want to go slower rather than faster is you're working harder. Where I learned, they got faster and faster as you went. I don't think for most of us at our age or injury state, that's probably a good idea. The other thing is they like you to do it no more than 21 times. They think that then you get messed up with its effects. But one of the teachers that I looked at online likes to do it in uneven numbers. So if one's all you can do and you move on to the next right, fine. Three, five, but do it in those uneven numbers. Why? Who knows? But I've learned over the years that, 3,000 years worth of knowledge, everything they've looked at scientifically, that they've tried to understand why it works and what it's doing, there were reasons for why it works and what it's doing. So I just follow what they tell me. So that's the first one. You could put your arms out as you do that. But if your shoulders budge you, you can put them on your hips, right? Now, I'm all the way out at the front edge of that chair so that I'm not whamming my elbows into my chair. Yeah, I saw somebody even had her hands on her head. Yep, you could even do that. But I want you to notice as you twist, put your hands on your neck again. Feel how that's changing which of those neck muscles is being used, right? So that's why it's giving your vagus nerve some stuff. Okay, so that's the first one. If you wanted to do that standing and you had some balance stuff, you could do it in a corner, touch, touch, touch. And if that's too much, get closer in, touch, touch, right? The trick with that one is that's hard on your knees. So I always tell people, lift your toes, set your knees so that all your ligaments in your knees are not being torqued. So that's the first one. The second one, they show it lying down. And I'm going to show you a couple of varieties that do lying down. And I would tell you, you know, you could do this on a bed. Now, could you do that last one that we did on a bed? Sure you could. Can you guys see me, hopefully?
Yes, we see you.
My body out of frame. I want to be sure you can see my body well.
Yeah, we can't see your feet.
Okay. You're not going to need those feet. Okay, so here we go. Perfect. So you could do that first one we just did on the ground, couldn't you? Twist, twist, right? So you could even do the first one on the ground. So here's the second one. The full expression has you lifting both legs, but I'm going to tell you, you can do it with your knees bent. Main thing is you are going to lift that head and bring those knees in and back down. So full expression, you know, is this business. Now, mind you, in the Ashtanga world, how I learned it was that everything came up, right? And I can't even do it now anymore into this lovely V, right? Well, you can tell why the Ashtanga guys would love that. That's a lot of core work. But so you can bring knees in, head comes up, but your head has to come a little ways off the mat just to make those muscles work. But you could use your hands to support your head, would also be okay. Now, if you wanted to do this in a chair, how are we doing? You could be out on the edge of your chair. Now I'm pretending that this is my back against the floor. I'm going to be out on the front edge of that chair. I'm going to lean back. And again, I've already got that neck kind of curved, don't I? And I'm just going to lift my feet, lift my feet. You could do that with your knees bent. Would also be okay. So that gives you some ideas. That one I think is a little trickier to do standing, but you could think of it as just coming forward, set your feet a little bit further out in front of you to start. Always be on a mat, don't do what I'm doing right now. So you could, and then imagine that your feet were against the wall and coming out to that position and going back if you wanted. So that's the second one. The third one, and you notice so far, we really aren't using those hands, right? But we'll get to the one that you're talking about, Linda, because I know which one you're struggling with. So third one is this. So technically speaking, they're having you come back into a back bend, stopping yourself with your core so that you don't go forward. Some people like to tuck their feet in it, right? But if you have knee problems, this doesn't fly. So again, back to seated. If you think about it, what I'm really doing here is arching that back. So I can do this one of two ways. I can come out to the edge of that chair, hands on my hips, come back and up. When you do that, be sure you pull that belly tight so that lower back is not working. And notice I'm not just folding and keeping those hips forward. I'm taking that whole thing up and back. It's a little bit like if you back dove as a kid into the pool, it's a little bit like that. Okay. So the other way to do that, if your hands are okay, your shoulders are okay, you could come back, put pressure on your hands, come forward. Come back. When you come up though, make yourself pull yourself up with your gut rather than using those arms. Because again, all of these are core toning, but we don't have those legs bent. If you wanted, you could come out, catty corner in a chair, and drop these back, but only if that chair is really firm and you super trust it. You could then do the same thing back. I'm getting a little bit of a stretch in those quads. Not a bunch, quadriceps right here, but some, right? So you could do that. Again, I am not putting any weight in my hands at all. They could even slide back behind me if I want. Can you do this one at the wall? Yeah, you can. It's a little trickier. But again, take your feet away from that wall. I'll stand this way so you can really see it. And all I'm really gonna do is lean back and come up. And if that's too scary, I'm gonna get closer to that wall. Be sure you don't bonk your head. But again, here, I'm kind of tightening those neck muscles, aren't I, as I go. Belly's in tight, right? So that's that one. The next one is the hardest guy to figure out how to do it without using those wrists. So this one, and you know, my Ashtanga instructor could do this so beautifully because not only would he come into tabletop, but then he would take his whole body back, straighten these legs. Can't really do it, but I'll give you the idea. And he would be like this with his butt off the ground and then come back into tabletop. Well, that's probably not happening this lifetime for me. So instead, what you can do is imagine, and to really make that work, you're gonna push down into those heels. Imagine that you're drawing your chest to the sky, your butt to the sky. I'm only putting about a third of the work in those, and I'm really not moving, but I'm engaging all the muscles as if I were coming up. There's another option, and Linda, this isn't gonna work for you, but for some people, if it's just their hands, you could come up, sit down, come up, right? Now, for Miss Linda, I'm gonna say we get to the wall and we get that hand completely out of the deal. So again, I'm gonna imagine this is lying on the ground, right? So if I'm coming into tabletop, I'm gonna put those feet a little bit out in front. And again, have a yoga mat under you. I'm just gonna come into tabletop and right back down. Now, because I wanna do the second half of that, where I'm kind of upright, I'm gonna lean forward. Anybody with heart or retina issues, you're not gonna do that. So, here we go. And maybe it looks like this. I am not using my arms really at all, except for just to know where I am in space. Now, interesting, Linda, I tried this in a doorway, kind of holding onto the door, and I actually could do it a little easier. So you might try that. But you need good balance and to think about how much weight can I bear? If I said to any one of you, take your body into the air and do a bench press. Could any of us do that? I couldn't. So you need to think about that when you're trying to do any of these poses where you're lifting body weight. Think, how much weight can I lift there comfortably in my wrist, my elbow, my shoulders? You don't want to be putting more weight than that on that joint because otherwise you're going to cross that failure threshold and fall, right? Okay, so here's the last one. probably the trickiest one to keep out of the wrist, which is really up dog into down dog. So last one, you're going to start in some version of this and go into this. But for wrist, maybe instead, it looks like this to this, right? But that's tough on the shoulders. So maybe instead, I can either be here and come into child's pose, come into sort of some version of up dog, not very far because you don't want a lot of pressure on that wrist, or down. I could do it that way, right? The other thing you can do to help your wrist is get anything you can get hold of rolled up so that the angle of that wrist is completely different. That will help too. I do a whole class where all we talk about is how you hold your hands to get all the pressure out of your wrist. But let's try it at the wall. You have one last. I'm going to be a good girl and put this at the wall because this is one that I want to be sure I know what I'm doing. Okay, I've got a few dog hairs that have flown into there this morning. All right, so here we go. Hands could go on that wall. And if I want to think down dog into up dog, but I'm still getting about a third of my body weight in that. If instead I bring those hands higher, and I'm going to have to do it over here so I don't have to take my picture down. Hands are higher, same thing, down dog. Up dog, but I could put those elbows on the wall. Down dog, up dog. And now I probably have 15% of the weight on there. So I can't get every single bit of it out. I bet if I thought about it over time, maybe I'll come up with some where I can get all of it out. But that would at least maybe set you back on that path, Linda.
Great. It does give choices. Now, I think my wrist is okay. That was, you know, just the year after I broke my wrist into places. And so they're very strong now, so I could roll something like that.
Oh, so you totally could, yeah.
Yeah. That, wow. That would, where do you get those rubber things like that? Those are horse mats.
I know they are, aren't they? Yeah, there's all kinds of ways you can get the Pilates mats tend to be thicker than a straight up yoga mat. You're looking at a stack of two thick Pilates mats with two yoga mats on either side of them. The Pilates mats are a little too slippy. So I've got a yoga mat underneath and a yoga mat on top, but I have arthritic joints that while I need that impact, I can also get cranky really easy. Right. So, and it helps my knees. Then I don't ever have to put anything under my knees. Great. But you can cut a mat up and use it to slide under your knees.
Great.
So that helps, gives you some ideas to play with the five Tibetans. A lot of people do it as a daily practice to start their day.
Well, the philosophy behind it and the concept of what, you know, just to start with watching it and knowing that we don't get the strength in our body as much, but we still activate those that a lot of it. I mean, it's fascinating. We know that from the Feldenkrais work. It's amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
One of the links that I put up there is the videos of a woman that talks about the mirror neurons, if you can't do it, and then she has some modifications. And I didn't title that, I just accidentally sent it without, but it's a good one to watch. Mm-hmm. And the Wikipedia with the little animated figures, I don't know why, but both Becky and I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's just a nice humor. But the bottom line is go shopping out on the net. Find one that speaks to you.
Yeah, I love the variations for, you know, that it's really great.
Yeah, anytime you put in five Tibetan rites with modifications, you'll get all kinds of options.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just reading the in the chat. And I had no idea about the philosophy behind it. And that's what I've been missing all these years. Every time I've done a yoga class, and I've just tried it four different times, there was never any philosophy it's not philosophy, it's facts. Mm-hmm. What's behind it?
Right. Well, and for that reason, I'm not for everybody. You know, a lot of people like to go into their yoga class and really go into that Zen state. You know, I always tell people, I know I've really scored with you when I'm instructing and we've gone on and you're still in a pose. I'm like, yes, you're now listening to your inner teacher better than you are me. That's awesome. But yeah, a lot of people don't like the amount of instruction that I give. But for somebody who's really super flexible, that idea of turn, you know, you're like, well, I can go almost 360. How far would you like? It's much more helpful to say, don't do your whole range of motion or only line up with this. So, you know.
Absolutely. Because then you're conscious about it.
Fantastic. And I would tell people to consider yoga therapy. There are lots of different people trained in yoga therapy across the country. I specialize in spinal cord injuries, and my referrals come from the PT guys. So, you know, the bottom line is that when you have something that a doctor is, that you're struggling to get done with a doctor, go check out a yoga therapist somewhere near you.
Fantastic. Never even heard of one.
Wow. Well, it's kind of new. Iyengar said, this is ridiculous to quantify this. All yoga is yoga therapy. Before he died, that was his statement. But they are certified now and they have a lot of anatomy training. Very different, again, very different ways of thinking about it. They all think about it differently, but sometimes I had a yoga therapy appointment one time, and the thing that she said that captured it for me was a position of my toes got that knee out of pain, and from then on I could reclaim my practice while it was healing. So you may spend an hour and get one little moment where you're like, oh, that's what I needed.
That's wow. I'm going to mute myself in between because the guys next door are building a deck and the music is like,
yeah. And that's all I have, Linda. We're good.
Becky, thank you so much. Does anyone have any questions for Becky?
Yeah, Lauren.
Becky, you said there's three things and I couldn't understand the first one. The second was sense of purpose. The third was optimistic outlook. And the first was,
what are we doing here? Building strong connections.
Strong
connections.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I would like now to spend.
Marnie has her hand raised.
Okay, thank you.
Marnie. Go, Marnie.
What I was going to say was that this is probably saved. PT wasn't doing it for me because it was just not maybe subtle enough or a little bit of no pain, no gain. I don't know. And pain is fine with me horse-wise. So, you know, people who do horses can't worry about pain very much. But anyway, I was going to say that now, since COVID, all these things are available online on Zoom so that you don't have to find a local person, find somebody that you want to work with. Because maybe Becky and I did it in person. I don't know how much, but we've been doing this on webinar, you know, Zoom since, since COVID, yeah. it works great. So,
by the way, Marnie has made me think of one other thing. If yoga doesn't draw you, one last person to consider, guy's name is Bob Cooley, and I cannot remember the name of his book. But he basically was smashed in a car. It was a hit while he was walking as a pedestrian by a car going 70 miles an hour. Everything was shattered. he spent time with PT and he said PT didn't do it for him. The only thing that really did it for him was stretching. He started messing with stuff, eventually kind of encoded this whole way of exercising. And he thought, I better go out in the world and be sure this doesn't mirror anything. So he went out and what he quickly realized was, well, crap, I've reinvented yoga, but with resistance. So I think of it as, remember how we used to do the isometric exercises? What he has is a system of movement that's sort of yoga with isometrics. That's very interesting for people with severe injuries. So you might look at Bob Cooley's book.
Thank if you. Of course, for those of you who don't know it, this is what Moshe Feldenkrais was famous for. I mean, working with people who had injuries that prevented them from continuing with their profession, whether musicians, dancers. I mean, it's famous and it's very gentle work. It's very different from PT or Pilates or any of this. Yep. And so it's that awareness that what Becky talked about, like, don't go to the full extent. Where that was the hardest thing for me during my Feldenkrais training for the couple of years, because we were not allowed to do any work on the body. And for 2 years, 2 times 12 weeks with Moshe. And just getting to know it ourselves, getting to be in our own bodies in these different ways that were great. So thank you. Thank you, Becky, so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I have a hard stop at 3, so I have to leave. Love you all.
Thank you so much. So I would, we're at 3 o'clock now. We started again at the 20 after. So I want to know if I think, Denise, we're going to have you bring in this amazing golden spiral the next time when we're fresh, because you're going to be, I hope, as blown away as I was by some of the details that Denise brought to us in German yesterday. That parts of that, what you did was bring together the work of Anna Wise and Dr. Fritz Albert Popp, which was really beautiful. So I would like to know now, I'd like to have each of us just find some part in your body that gives you limitation, or a part you'd rather not look at, for whether because it's maybe painful or you've got carrying too much weight or, wrinkled or something. Either way. And just I'd like you to find that and just think about it. And I'm going to imagine I'm holding up this beautiful magic mirror where we have one side. You hold it to yourself. Let's just imagine doing this now. We're going to just jump back in the forest, because it kind of takes us out of everyday life. We're actually going to shapeshift. It's just like from here to there. We're in the forest again, and each one of you now have this magic mirror, hand mirror with a beautiful handle on it. And I want you to first of all imagine, what's the handle made of? Some of you will have crystal, some of you beautiful carved wood. What would you like it made of? And then what's the rim of the mirror? So this mirror is going to give you really incredible information about yourself. So you just turn it first to the side that shows you the areas in your body where there's not as much light, because either it's a could be old thing that you just forgot about and you othered because it really served you not to feel the pain or discomfort. And just like hold that up to yourself, each one of you, because in the end we're going to turn it the other way and we're going to see. And actually let's hold it up, let's work with this first. And in the end, we're going to turn it around and see our divine selves. So hold that beautiful mirror and think, however, whatever is making that handle, whether it's crystal or wood or stone and the rim, say hello to this. This is a really incredible aid to you, helper to you. And know that the crystals, the wood, whatever that is, has consciousness also. And connect into that consciousness in all things, including stone. And then hold it up to yourself. Say, okay, let's see. What today would I, one part that I would like to focus on. And maybe if you're having, like Lauren, like you're having a lot of pain, focus on something that you really like. That's very cool. Also, this is your choice. What do I want to focus on that I really like? Or some place that doesn't have the light because I othered it. Huh? Just hold it. And I'm going to give you now any way to bring this golden spiral, this circle and a quarter, with any part of your hands. So actually, and if you can't reach your body, you can send it there, but if you can't reach your body, actually do the T-touch that you would like just somewhere on the body, and so that you can imagine feeling it on the part you can't reach. And smile at this concept. Whoa. I'm using the side of my hand, what we call the banana slug, with my little finger slightly curved. And I'm just holding, I'm cupping sideways my one hand, because it's a very soft way of connecting with my body. Find the side of your hand, the back of your hand, parts of your fingers. And really go to that part and just explore some different pressures and tempo, and maybe even off the body. And remember your breath, like in through the nose, out through pursed lips with a smile, this orca breathing. We're going to bring the power of the orca into your hands with your breath. And pay attention to which part of your hand you're using. And so if you don't know that, I'm going to ask you after which part, and then we're going to figure out what's the name we've given. You don't have to worry that you don't know it. We're going to play with this. Celebrate that we have it, and you maybe know it or yet don't know it. Remember to talk to that part of your body, or sing to it and move a little as you're applying T-touch. And remember to breathe in to this golden spiral quarter circle. Like, and you might choose to just do a little tiny raccoon tea touch, a tiny, tiny touch, and send a little laser. Imagine a laser that goes in there, light. And if you've got blockage, with the just a connection, no pressure, just connect and send that laser light cell to cell. Now, I'd like you to just stop and pause, be still. Just come to a place of stillness. Gently, very gently breathe in and out, very softly. And smile at yourself. And just imagine you're connecting in with that amazing healing potential that every cell holds and connecting them. And now bringing that mirror up again and turning it so that you reflect your higher self, your being self with every cell in the body, like, whoa, lit up like stars in the Milky Way. Move that down the body and just shine it on every part. Move it. Imagine moving it down the body, finding any areas that have been not in ideal communication till now. And now I'd like you just to imagine, just like, duke, just open your hand and give that magic mirror, that beautiful mirror, just transform it to light and open your eyes. Now, write in the chat or on your journal a few things that actually, if you feel like it. If you don't feel like it, don't do it. But if you can write it in something, like in your journal, it will be something to remember. And you can imagine writing it in your journal when you're just comfortable and don't want to move. You can just imagine yourself writing it. Remember, we're having fun together. We're supporting each other doing this. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask each person to just bring some little thing in, because it is our collective connection and experiences that really support ourselves and each other. So I'm going to ask you just to unmute yourself and raise your and say who you are speaking. Actually, I wonder if this is going to work. It usually works better if we'll try it. Ava, you unmuted yourself. would you like to just something that you take away from this experience or from the forest experience we did earlier? Just some one thing. Eva, are you there with us?
Yeah, I am, Beth.
One little thing.
I don't know.
Okay. So you may, don't worry if you just want to listen if you feel like it. I thought you'd unmuted yourself. So.
No.
Okay. Okay. When you're ready, you can just unmute yourself and I'll see some of them. We'll do the best. Razia, you're unmuted. Would you like to share something?
I really loved that option that of being able to go back in the forest in what you said that you would do it separately, because every time you were leading in the forest in the past, I was distracted, what I told you, by my son or by something. Yeah. And one thing is difficult for me with imagining the carpet is that I always see a carpet that I bought in Kashmir. And I always see this, but I can't get away from, somehow I feel a bit stuck with it. It doesn't.
So one possibility is okay. Just go with it and see where it takes you.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, you bought it, it's real. Rather than resisting it, you might say, yes. Okay, it's there for me. Let's see, where do we go?
Okay, yeah, that's good. And of course, I was really, it was very, very wonderful for me that that opened up with Gorbachev. And I'm still with this because in the garden, I saw him immediately. I invited him, of course, as you did. And that was very touching. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And for me, the first time now, I was getting much deeper into it this time.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you. Sometimes we don't, you know, trust that it's okay for us to imagine or that we can do it. So when you hear enough of us doing it together, then you begin to realize, yes, you can do it. And I called my friend Jim Garrison, who was the person, Catherine, who organized that Gorbachev conference, the summit. So I left a message that I'd like us to call him together if possible. I'm sure it's possible. So who else would like to share? And remember, sharing is a great gift. Leslie, do I see your hand move?
Yep.
Yes?
Yeah. So mine's the opposite. Mine's get more into the physical world. Again, I can spend hours in silence and on my own and what have you. So yeah, going back to the very early conversations about being in relationship and what have you, it's reconnect with people, reconnect with the richness of people, I guess. So the real physical world.
Beautiful. So our discussions, our sharing is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the discussions at the beginning is like, yeah, it's easy for me to be alone, to just be in my own space. It's harder to be in the physical world. But that's where the experience is. That's where life is.
Great. Thank you. And so it was the relationship, just that discussion then.
Yeah.
So welcome to the world.
Thank you.
Angela.
For me, the visualization there was just this complete relaxation. I just felt so at peace. And I think the story that Chanel shared with us earlier, it just really, really moved me how you can connect with people like that. And just, you know, to the timing of it and everything, it really has given me another one of those wow moments. And yeah, it's really sort of settled with me right there.
Beautiful. Thank you. It's a truly magical experience with her mom. Oh my God. And her children now. And the fact that her son, who didn't like to be photographed, could be photographed with her mother, with his grandmother. Very wonderful. Marnie.
Well, as we were doing that, I used to make my living as a dancer. I know people wouldn't believe that. When I wasn't writing full time, you know, depending on what I was doing professionally. And in the middle of doing that, my leg is the problem, post-surgery recovery, whatever. And I got this big hit, I can't believe it, about dancing. And I'm like, what? And I've never thought about dancing since, you know, I've been having this for a couple of years struggling with the leg, and the idea of dancing on this leg was like, whoa. But it was kind of, you know, it's kind of exciting.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, really? We're having trouble walking, dancing, okay.
Beautiful, thank you. I'll bet your leg is really happy that you're thinking that.
I'm sure it's surprised. It's kind of had every right to hate me, you know, for what I did, or what I allowed to be done. So we've had a struggle, I think.
Yep.
But I think it knows that we're working together now, as opposed to.
Beautiful.
Not.
And may I ask you to ask your leg how your leg would feel when you can forgive yourself and the doctor? Just ask your leg how it would feel. You don't have to tell us, just like.
Yeah, no, okay. Okay, that'll be interesting.
Okay.
It never knew it had a voice until because of all this recently that it has a voice in what happens.
Beautiful, thank you. Tyra.
Yes, I was working on my abdomen. I had done T-touches on them lightly, and today I did them deeper, the way you talked about. And, you know, and I noticed a difference when I finished, that there was a sense of lightness instead of heaviness.
Wow. Beautiful. Yeah. Nice. Huh. Thank you. Instead of heaviness. Amazing, eh? So, let's see, who else would like to share? I've got to get my, Dilly, you're unmuted.
There was two things really. During the journey into the forest, I was actually working on a part of my body, but all day I've had really bad back. I've got a lot of osteoarthritis, and it's been really playing me up today. And after working on a different part of my body, my back is absolutely fine now. I felt really, really warm once it got going. And as I say, my back feels absolutely fine now, and it's been really uncomfortable all day.
Wow.
But the other thing I wanted to share was I've been taking myself into the forest quite a lot. I have extremely high blood pressure and I have to monitor it at home to keep a check on it. And what I've found is if I do a couple of heart hugs while I've got the monitor on my arm without taking my blood pressure, and then I take myself into the forest by the pool of water and imagine, well, I see the waterfall and the sparkling water, and in the pool there is this massive piece of aquamarine crystal. What? And out of it bubbles the water, and I always have my feet in the water and the water feels absolutely magical. It's like silky smooth. And when I do that, I take my blood pressure and it's always really within reasonable normal limits, which I can never usually get it to be. If I take it another time without going into the forest, it'll be fairly high. It's almost like it sort of calms me and brings my blood pressure right down. And it is just so brilliant. And I use it so much if I get slightly agitated about something, which is obviously will put my blood pressure up, then I just think of myself in the forest at this pool and all there's so many butterflies and unicorn and fairies and the angels around. And it is just absolutely magical. I just love it. I'd love to live there. Don't want to come back. So thank you so much for that. That's changed such a lot for me.
That is fantastic. And we just had, I can't remember, darn it, last week someone wrote to me, not from this class, saying that they had had they when they do T-touch, their blood pressure goes down. Mm-hmm. They can actually. And so, you know, we've had, if it was one of you, and I just don't remember, please let me know, but because I've got to find that and post it. And because this is so important that we have that opportunity. Wow. Thanks. Okay. Let's see, who else have we got here who would like to share? That's it? Just think about it.
Linda, I'd like to share something with you about forest meditation.
Yep.
I saw a light, the mirror was pure light. And then as I was holding a light in my hand, and then it sort of turned into a white marble with stars circling in it.
Hold on, we've got a real interference somewhere here.
Maybe it's my phone.
Okay. Yeah. Are you on the phone or on your computer?
I'm on the phone.
Ah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. See if you can see it again. Your mirror was pure light and then?
Yeah, and then it started changing into physical form and became white marble with stars in it, like from the universe.
Wow.
The light, then I shined it towards myself, and the light was shining pieces of my higher self because I couldn't see the image of myself that well. And maybe it's because I don't have a very good self-image of myself. I don't know, but I just saw pieces of myself and it made me really happy. And then there was a blackness inside of me, and the light circled into the vortices of the black. The energy of the light went deep into each cell like a wind in each cell, and mixed it so that it was white and black. And the light was moving from section to section. And earlier on my magic carpet, I could hear the wind And it was like the community around me was helping me with the light in my cells. And the magic on them was on the magic carpet, and the wind was blowing under the carpet. It was so majestic and beautiful and powerful. And that's the one thing, that's the only reason why I could hear it so well. And then we were together in the forest, but the mirror, seeing a little bit of myself, I probably will go back there and check that out again, see what I look like.
And maybe you're, you know, that's what I would say. It sounds like you're ready to look at parts at this time. And as you, hold on a second, I'm going to mute me. Sorry, I had to go off. So right now you're just looking at those pieces of yourself, and when you see darkness in there, these are the parts, as Dr. Pop said, where the communication between the cells is inhibited. It can be inhibited from the experiences of all beings. And perhaps you remember in one of the past life regressions that I did with at the Light Institute with Chris Griscom many years ago, I went into my body and I saw that we are all, every person is programmed with every negative emotion that has ever been on the planet. That's just this part of who we are as humans. And this is our opportunity to bring that awareness and consciousness with gratitude. And as soon as you see, you go to a place of fear, gratitude overrides fear because it brings light into it. What Becky was talking about the basis of yoga. So this is like, celebrate that darkness in your body because you realize, oh, those are places, wait a minute, when I can learn to practice, which love or fear. And as soon as you know that dark place, oh, that's the fear that I've been carrying, that fear that, you know, associated with my PTSD, all this stuff. Hey, this is very cool. I can see this now. And I can, as you said, you took the light and you just, and the light goes into the cells with love. And you can think of, at that moment, the love, whatever you comes to your mind, what do you love deeply? It can be the forest, it can be the fairies, it can be whatever that is, it comes just instantly to your mind. And every time you see the darkness, it's, celebrate that. I see that part, the communication in my body, my cells, are not that. Something is blocking that communication, and it can be all the fear we all hold. And we're just becoming aware that we are perfect beings, no matter the fear that we hold, and how we can overcome that. And it would be very interesting, Chanel, for you. You might just see what happens after, if you sit down and you physically write your mother a letter and ask her, what are some words of wisdom that she would like from the other side to give to you that you never had a chance to get before?
That's so beautiful. Okay, yes. I'll do it. Thank you. Okay.
And would you please just give my love to your children and your kitty who is there with you?
I will. I will love that. Thank you. My love to you and Roland and Griffin.
Thank you. And just feel yourself just surrounded by all of us, you know, and wow. Because what you're feeling is the part that we've all had. Everyone's had that. Thank you. Lauren.
So I think what you were just saying is pertinent for me here. On Friday, I was at the new osteopath, and he asked me to describe any pain I was having. And I said, I can't do that. I'm not into sharp, dull, knife, da-da-da. For me, it's just pain. He said, what do you mean? And I said, look at me for a second, Linda. I said, pain is just a big red flashing light. Pain, pain, pain. And he said, but it would help me.
Okay.
He said, it would help me help you. And we didn't go there. It's just, I don't know how to say sharp or this or that. And so I think what you were just saying to Chanel about, I think that this, I feel like I'm so preoccupied with pain. And you said in the beginning of your meditation, if you're in pain like Lauren, think of something that makes you smile. And I think I get so preoccupied with pain that there is nothing happy, good, no smile. So when I slipped this morning in that parking lot and slid my leg under that shopping cart and right into it, full force, full weight, and it's just like I was seeing stars. It was so bad. And I got in the car and said, well, do T-touch. And I'm trying to drive and do T-touch. And I just kept saying, see, my leg is perfect. See, everything is fine. Everything is perfect. And I can't even conceive of, at that moment, being able to see or think of something lovely or happy. I mean, I was grateful just to remember to say, see the perfection, while I was gasping and crying. And it was really hurting. So you were saying to Chanel, this is the opportunity to use gratitude to override fear. And I realized that I think this big flashing light, pain, 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 it's got to be fear. It's got to be fear that's overwhelming me. I mean, what else would make pain such a big red flashing light? So you saying choose love over fear, like Bruce Lipton said, you know, from the very beginning, bring light into the cells with love. When you're seeing darkness, realize fear is blocking the light. I think that maybe this is what's going on with me and pain. Does that make sense?
Yes, and just so what, from a scientific, from Bruce Lipton point of view, when you, from my point of view, actually, when you have so much pain, one way to see it is that communication between the cells is inhibited. That's actually Dr. Pop. And that pain has to do with the light, but this fear, this concept of fear that you can't get rid of it, that's real. And so you did it. The fact that you started giving the message to your leg, just remember your perfection. You have to say it over and over because you don't. And it's, what do I mean by that? Remember your perfection at the cellular level. Where does that come from? Sir Charles Sherrington, thanks to Moshe Feldenkrais having us read that book. Sherrington, who won the Nobel Prize for his work with photons, light in the cells. And this basic concept that I got from him, and that's changed my life, is that, oh my gosh, every cell in the body knows its function in the body. So if you go to that place of wonder, even though, I mean, you're crying and you're hurting, you said it, wait a minute, remember your perfection. That just means, remember, oh my gosh, this body has amazing potential for healing. Now, where do we get that? Denise is going to bring you a scientific reason next time. I would like to go to that Hindu or Bible statement that the power of creating all it is, including healing, is within every cell. And it just keep hanging on that. It doesn't mean you won't lose it, but you did it. You got in the car and you instead of feeling totally helpless, you're applying T-Touch. And the T-Touch, remember this, write it in, I write these things in big letters on my notes. I'm looking down because I'm taking notes. Whoa, wait a minute, that golden spiral, that 1 1/4 touch, that's like a key to connect in to that absolute ability to know ideal function. Remember your ideal function at the cellular level. Because we can't remember when you're hurting. What? Remember the perfection. Are you crazy? But I can remember the potential for ideal function at the cellular level. And I want to keep saying this. We have to hear it over and over and over. And so I'd like to give you some way to answer that. When you say describe the pain level, what he means, there's a scale and you need to write down the scale because it's universal to describe the level of pain. And if anyone has any correction for me, how you learned it, this is how I know it. On a 1 to 10 scale, 1 to 3 means it's just kind of, it's present. It's little distracting. 4 to 7, you can reduce the pain with a over-the-counter medication like ibuprofen or something that you can put in your mouth. But 8 to 10 takes something like a prescription, a morphine, something, it's extreme. You may be feeling a 10 pain. In other words, it's really, really an intense, intense pain. That when you say that those red lights, holy mackerel, that's just like overwhelming.
To me, I don't differentiate. It's like pain is pain. Ingrained in pain.
Stop. Listen to me. Sorry. It's ingrained. You're here to learn. What we do is bring the logic with the numbers. When you put the numbers to it and you put the logic to it, yes, you can't, it's overwhelming. Well, stop. Take a deep breath. You're alive. Wait a minute. I want to draw this line. Have the movement even to draw this line. Okay, where on that scale is this thing? Wait. It's as much as I can bear. So for you, it's a 10. Because at that point, over the counter isn't going to help you because you're so afraid, which is normal. But now, wait a minute, you were able to drive, keep yourself in control. The next time, if you were driving to take a little time before you start driving and just like, no, bring us all in, call us all in and call in your dogs. Your dogs are there to help you. In your mind, have them there. You can love something. Call in your dogs. That's how you can start to override that. So that's my piece.
Thank you. Can I ask you little questions?
All right.
I was looking in the notes when Catherine asked about the meditation a couple hours ago, trying to find when the first one was. And I saw a note that said, when you're working over the body instead of on the body, don't use your fingertips. Don't use the pads of your fingers. Use your fingers. And I don't remember what you meant by that.
Okay, can we hold that for the next time? Because we'll explore that. But I'd like to stay on this experience, write it down. We'll come back because you need that clarification. So that's my opportunity to really go in deeper the next time. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
So yeah. Focus on, when you say yeah, focus on just sending the love from your dog to your body. Okay. Pour your love and do some nice tea touches on your dog, really light ones. And when you do, you'll be getting it yourself. It's like you are getting it. Just the lightest movement. Doesn't matter what part of your hand you use, whatever is really light, and smile and just say, oh, thank my angel, thank my God that I have these dogs. Thank you, Lauren, for sharing.
Thank you.
You're muted still.
Yeah, goodbye, everyone. I was just waving goodbye. Sorry, I realized that was confusing. Take care. Good
Maggie,
night. Sleep
can I
well.
Just ask you 1 second, like just one thing you're taking away?
I'm not very good at these quick,
okay,
short things.
Don't worry. Yeah.
It was lovely as always. Thank you.
So, would you bring that up? Remind me, because we address that, because that picture thing has to do with the right brain. And let's just play with that. Thank you, Maggie, for your patience of being with us when we do that.
No worries. Thank you. Ta-da.
Thanks. Bye. We're waving here to you. Okay. I'll take one last word. Oh, I see. Katerina, yes.
Hello. I don't even know how to compile everything I want to say, so that's why I wasn't speaking. There's so many brilliant things just today alone. But what I thought about was what has been happening the past few weeks because of, I believe, because of this community and the tea touches that I'm even practicing on myself more in class. I'm noticing I'm making different choices, more healthful choices that I've been wanting to make, but have been struggling to make. And I've been wanting to make them, not just trying to make them. So it's been a happy choice. And I'm also, things that I couldn't find solutions to, all of a sudden I'm finding solutions to, because I'm thinking about that differently. Uh-huh. So that's really basically what I want to say, but it's been fantastic. And so that brings hope. Not that I felt hopeless at all, but, and also listening to each and every person, I am absolutely learning. And thank you for that, Lauren, as well. I heard what you were saying, and I learned from that as well.
Beautiful.
So, thank you.
And we learn from what each person dares to share. Because
that's why
hard.
I shared. That's why yeah, I shared. I wanted to, yes.
Fantastic. And so I'm going to end with this. Again, I've read this several times before. I keep coming back and back and back to it. Wow, it's this Abraham Hicks statement that every cell in your body has a direct relationship with creative life force. And each cell is independently responding. When you feel joy, all the circuits are open. When you feel joy, all the circuits are open. Even when you just bring that joy in the middle of a lot of fear and chaos. And the life force or the God force can be fully received. So when you can just feel joy about your dogs, about one thing, the circuits open. And that life force in each cell or the God force can be fully received. So let's just leave it at that. I really appreciate everybody's willingness to share and be here. And Jilly, if you would like to stay on, because I didn't have a chance to talk to you about the Beamer. And Angela, if you could stay on a few minutes, because you haven't, and Marnie, you've got one too. If we could, anybody who's interested in the Beamer and hasn't had a chance yet to talk about it, there's just so much going on. Do you have time, Jilly, now, or should we do it another time? You have time now? Okay. So, Tyra, you're here. If you could share your experiences with the Beamer, and I'm interested to hear this week how it's going. So thank you all. Let's end with a heart hug. Denise, of course, if you also have a Beamer, if you'd like, anybody who has one and would like to stay on and share it with Dilly because she's interested, or anyone else who's interested, you can be here with us. So blessings to you all. Remember each night to count your blessings wherever you are, and let's send that energy out to the world. And we'll all, I hope, to have a report on the Gorbachev connection for next week. So I'm going to end the recording and look forward to Saturday with Eleanor and I. So stop the recording.